song of encouragement. Number 470 will be led for your encouragement after the lesson this morning. What a beautiful day, wonderful opportunity to be here and to open up our Bibles and our hearts to what the Lord has to say. Ashton has led several songs this morning about glorifying God, counting our blessings, blessed are we. Songs that have to do with blessedness. And of course, this time of year, we often turn our attention to Thanksgiving. Sadly, many people's minds are just turned to the holiday of Thanksgiving, the day of Thanksgiving. And that's the extent of their Thanksgiving. I want to suggest to you, friend, that we need to be people who are giving thanks, not just one day a year, or emphasizing it just one day a year, but a person, an individual, a child of God who is thankful in his heart every day. Every day, under every circumstance, and every situation that we may find ourselves in. If you want to stop and think about it, I hope that you do, you will realize that no matter how bad things are in this life, no matter how bad things are today, I want to assure you, in the deepest, darkest pit that you may find yourself in, there is still something to be thankful for. There is still something to be thankful for, and that is what God has provided for us. And realize and understand that this life is not our home. This world is not our home. This place is just a place we're passing through. The pilgrimage mindset is very much an important factor in our gratitude. In Luke, the 17th chapter, in verses 11 through 19, we read there, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." That's what they were supposed to do. They were lepers. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" 10 men healed of leprosy. One man who was a Samaritan turned and gave thanks to Jesus, glorifying God, giving him thanks. You know, I don't know about these other 9 fellows. I suppose they were probably Jewish, but I don't know that. Perhaps they were all Samaritans. But this man was certainly a Samaritan, and of course, he was passing through Samaria, so I have reason to believe that they all were perhaps Samaritans. But 9 of them. Here's the telling. It's not whether they were Samaritans or Jews or Gentiles. The thing is, were they thankful? Did they glorify God for the gift that they had received? That's the question. Just like today, many are ungrateful for what God has blessed them with. These 10 men all had the same disease. It was incurable. It was terminal. Leprosy. They cried out to Jesus. See, only God's power could save them. And they cried out to Jesus and did what the Lord told them to do. And that is to go and show themselves to the priest. Well, 10 were healed. They did not come back to thank Jesus. Maybe they were just neglectful. Let's play advocate here and say they were just so excited about their healing that they just leaped for joy. They couldn't wait to get to the priest. They were just so happy. And they forgot to thank Jesus. Well, that very well may be the case, but they still forgot to thank Jesus. They still forgot to praise and glorify God. We should never be so overcome with our gift and so happy about our blessings that we forget to thank God. One came back and was grateful, praised the Lord. Today, you know, sin is a terminal condition as well. And it is something that every one of us, every single one of us, has suffered with. We've all faced. The question is, have we dealt with it? And there's only one way to deal with it, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if you have been forgiven of your sins, if you are a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, do you show your gratitude? And let me ask it this way. How do you show your gratitude? I want to submit to you something else. That it is right, it is good, and it is necessary for us to open our mouths and give God thanks. We see that many times in the Scripture. But I want to suggest to you something else. It's not so much what we say, it is what we do. Does our life demonstrate our gratitude for God as we live day by day? Are we demonstrating that we are truly thankful for what God's done for us? Are we truly appreciative of the death and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we can have our sins washed away in His blood? Are we truly that grateful person who gives God glory and gives God praise and gives Him thanks? Not just in what we say, but in how we live. Our culture today encourages us to be discontent with who we are and what we have. And think about it. I mean, you constantly see advertisements on television telling you that you need a better car. Constantly telling you, you need to lose weight and you need to look better and you need to have this facelift done and you need this and you need that in order to feel good about who you are and about yourself. You're constantly seeing people that look a lot better than you and they have so much more than you and we're shown that this is the good life. And so we become discontent. Because we're told that's the way we ought to be. We should be striving for more stuff. But instead of appreciating our gifts and our blessings and even the talents that we have, you know, listen, whatever talent we have, whatever it is, it's important and we should be thankful for what we can do. Don't be unthankful because of what we can't do. Much of our modern culture tries to get us to compare what we have with what others have. And of course, our culture doesn't, I know that some do, but not so much. I mean, we are told that look at these people. And this is the television, sitcoms, etc. Look at these people and what they have. Don't you wish you could have all of that stuff? We have seen on television, and we do see from time to time, well, look at what situation these people are in Africa. Or these people are in New Jersey. After Sandy hits. Okay, and we're shown the problems that they're facing. You know, really those are the kind of things we ought to think about more often. People in third world countries. We're discontent because we don't have all the fancy technology and all the gadgets that somebody perhaps with more money than we make have. But what about these other folks? You've heard the story about the shoe salesman who was sent to this small town and he gets there, he gets off the bus, he goes into his motel room and as he's walking into his motel room, he notices, you know, nobody here has any shoes on. They don't have shoes. He gets to his motel room and he calls the company and he says, "Why did you send me here? These people here do not wear shoes. I can't sell shoes here. I demand that you place me somewhere else." So he left town. So the company sent another shoe salesman there, and he gets off the bus and he looks around, and sure enough, people aren't wearing shoes, and he has a big smile on his face. He goes through the street and he's looking, and no one has shoes. He is tickled to death. He gets more and more excited, and he gets to his motel room and he calls the company. He says, "Thank you so much for sending me here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Nobody here has any shoes. I can sell who knows how many." You see the difference in attitude between those two people? One was truly thankful because of the opportunity that he had been blessed with. And it's just really how we see things and our perspective in life. And I'll tell you that Thanksgiving, gratitude is truly an attitude that we need to have. In Romans chapter 12, or 1 in verse 21, you know, being unthankful is sinful. Paul here talking about the Gentiles, he says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Praising God, glorifying God, seeing God for who He is a necessary ingredient of gratitude. If I do not praise God and recognize God as God and respect Him, I'm not going to be thankful to Him. They knew God. They knew God in the past. They knew God. He had revealed Himself to them. But they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Those two things go together. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 2, Paul writes, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." You know, at the beginning of this passage in verse 2 down to the end of verse 4, you have, first of all, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You have someone who's focused on themselves. And you see all of the sins that come out of that selfish attitude. One of those sins that comes out of a selfish attitude is unthankfulness. But it's right alongside of covetousness and boasting and proud, being proud and railing against God and being disobedient to parents. It's right there with all of these other things. Unloving, unforgiving, unholy, slanderers. It's right there. Ungratefulness is a sin. It comes from a heart that is wrong, an attitude that is not what it ought to be. It comes from pride. Ungratefulness comes from pride. You know, when you think of yourself higher than you ought to think, who gets the glory for the things that you have? Who is it? Who is thanked for what you have? Well, you are. When you're lifted up with pride, you pat yourself on the back. You don't thank God. You're not as grateful as you should be. And I'll submit to you that our pride and the measure of our pride is going to correspond with the measure of our ungratefulness. Selfishness. A selfish entitlement perspective on life. People who think that God owes them things. How grateful are they going to be for the things that God blesses them with? A person who seeks his own self-interest and his own self-desires, he again is not going to be thankful to God for what he acquires. He's going to be thankful to himself. And he'll never be content with what he has. He will continue to want more and more and more. Caused by a lack of respect for God, as I've mentioned. If we fail to respect God for who He is, certainly we're not going to give Him glory and thanks for what He's given to us. Caused by a lack of faith and hope, doubt fuels ingratitude. Faith fuels
gratitude. Think about the correlation between those things. And our hope. Listen, we talked in the Bible class this morning about hope. What if there was no hope? What if Jesus had not been raised from the dead for our justification? What if there was nothing for us after the grave? What would there really be to be thankful for in the overall sense? Hope is extremely important for gratitude and neglect and thoughtlessness. Many are ungrateful simply because they don't think. They don't think about where their blessings came from. Just thoughtless. Just wandering through life. Not giving it any thought. Again, of course, it would tie into some of the other things mentioned above. Ungratefulness is a sin. In Psalms 100 and verse 4, Braden read from Psalms 100 earlier. Verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." The people of God should certainly be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. And we should give our thanks to God and enter into His courts with thanksgiving, praising His name. Psalms 107 and verse 22, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." The sacrifices were an offer, an extension of their thanksgiving for the Jew. That's the feast of the Passover, Pentecost, continually these feasts pointing to things to be thankful for. The thankful for God's deliverance of the Jew out of Egypt. The thankfulness for the harvest and the many blessings that God had provided the people. What do we have to be thankful for? What about our sacrifices of thanksgiving? In Psalms 116 and verse 17, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and I will call upon the name of the Lord." Do we truly honor Him and respect Him for what He's blessed us with? In the New Testament, in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, Paul says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always, constantly, continuously. For how many things? For what things? For all things. For all things. In Philippians 4 and verses 4 through 7, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God." Rejoice. Rejoice. You know, people are not happy and then they give thanks. That's not the way that it really works. It's not the way it's supposed to work. And if it's true thanksgiving, that's not the way it does work. Your thanksgiving is not dependent upon your happiness. The thankful in heart will be happy. That's the way it works. If we are truly grateful for the blessings that we have, if we're truly grateful to God and we truly give Him praise and honor, we will be thankful. And then we will be joyful. Then we will be happy. Then we will have peace and contentment. The attitude of gratitude precedes that. Gentleness, anxiousness, fear, prayer and supplication, all with thanksgiving. We need to be people who realize where all of our blessings come from. And if we're truly grateful to God, and if we rejoice, and if we're gentle, and if we are anxious for nothing, and we extend to God our prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, then the peace of God will surpass us, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Colossians 2 and verse 6, Paul says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Okay, so you have received Christ. You've received His words. You have accepted His terms of pardon. And you're walking in accordance with His teaching. Walk in Him. Walk in fellowship with Him. And you do that by following His teaching. Rooted and built up in Him and established in faith. We have something firm, something solid that we can stand upon, and that's Jesus Christ. And we need to set our roots deep in Jesus Christ. As you have been taught, that's by the gospel, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We need to grow spiritually, and of course, thanksgiving is going to be a part of that. Our attitude towards God is going to be reflected in how we live. You know, if a person does not walk in Christ, if a person is not rooted and built up in Christ, that is, he does not allow himself to be taught and encouraged and built up in Christ, he's demonstrating that he is ungrateful to Christ for what Christ has done. Isn't that true? In Colossians chapter 3, in verses 15 through 17, Paul writes there, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Now, this is a passive action for us. We let, we allow peace, the peace of God to rule in our hearts. It's something that we make a conscious choice regarding. It is something that we allow, and we do that by receiving God's Word, and we then obey God's Word. And that is letting God have His way with us. And that is letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. To which also you were called in one body. That is, we're called by the gospel into the body of Christ. And be thankful. Be grateful. And whatever you do, verse 17, of course verse 16, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving with grace in your heart to the Lord. Okay, we understand that. By the way, you know, a thankful heart is going to be a singing heart. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father for you. Whatever you do. Whatever you do in word or deed. Listen, we give thanks not just with what we say, but also in how we live and what we do. Giving thanks to God. We submit to His authority, and we must do so joyfully, willingly, thankfully. We ought to be a thankful people. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13, in verse 13, talks about the redemption price that was paid for us and the sacrifice that Jesus made, the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, if you'll look there, beginning in verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Someone who's discouraged. Someone who has been weakened because of life circumstances, because of sin or other things in their life. They've been weakened. Their hands hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. This is chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Now, you have this example and this illustration. In fact, it goes on in verse 17, for you know that afterward when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. Though he sought it diligently with tears. He had thrown it away and he couldn't get it back. Why? Because he was discontent. He sold his birthright for a morsel of food. How grateful was he for his birthright? For his inheritance? How grateful was he? So that's why we need to remember and be encouraged. You go to chapter 13 and verses 13 through 15. He says, therefore let us come or go forth to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. Jesus suffered for us, verse 12. For here we have no continuing city, the pilgrimage mindset. But we seek the one to come. That's our goal and our aim. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Are we as thankful as we ought to be, knowing that Jesus has shed His blood for us? How He died, suffered outside the gate? Are we willing to come boldly to Christ and bear His reproach and give thanks because of what He's promised us? We ought to be thankful. Okay. Gratitude. How can a proud heart be grateful? I've raised that question already. Well, humility prompts gratitude. You think about that. A humble person is thankful. Love. How does love prompt gratitude? Well, love is truly respect and value. Love is based upon value. If I value something, I'm going to be grateful for that thing. And we are grateful for what we value most. Respect. If I do not respect God, I'm not going to be thankful to God. Faith. If I don't trust God, I'm not going to be thankful to God. But faith is necessary. Hope. If I don't have the hope of sins forgiven and eternal life, why should I be grateful? How can I be grateful? Would be my answer. I need to realize and be the type of person that God wants me to be so that I can truly be thankful. So, you know, on Facebook this month, beginning the 1st of November, there began to be people posting on Facebook, you know, day one, I am thankful for. And then they would say what they're thankful for that day. Certainly, you know, you could take one day per month and you could come up with something or some things to be thankful for. But again, November is a month just like any other month. I should be just as thankful on January 1st as I am on November 22nd or 23rd or whatever day Thanksgiving would fall on in a particular year. I need to be just as thankful every day. So what should I be thankful for? First and foremost, I should be thankful for every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. Everything else is secondary to this. Everything else is really of inconsequence to this. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay, we're blessed. We're blessed so much spiritually because of what Jesus has done for us. And verse 4, He talks about the election, the choosing. He chose us. He chose us in Christ. He chose us to be holy and without blame. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus. God, before the foundation of the world, determined that all those who would enter into Christ would be His chosen people and would be His adopted sons. By the way, you know that Brandon and Kelly, they have recently adopted. They adopted Micah a couple of years ago. They adopted another little girl a couple of weeks ago, Eileen, and they're in the process of adopting her. And we found out this week that they will also be getting Eileen's big sister, Kyla. She's 3 years old, adopted into the family. They will be McLean's. They will be their children. We are adopted into God's family. We are His children in Christ. Isn't that something to be thankful for?
He just goes on with blessing after blessing. The grace which we have, that we've been accepted in the Beloved, verse 6. Verse 7, redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The riches of His grace. All of these things are undeserved. You know, a proud man does not appreciate the grace of God. A humble man does. A humble man who sees himself as a sinner and in need of His healing. And verse 8, which He made to abound towards us in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the like mystery of His will. The Word of God itself is a great blessing. He has revealed to us His will. Are we appreciative of that? How much do we study? And so He goes on and on. They obtained the like inheritance. Of course, the promise of eternal salvation. All of these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. First and foremost, we should be thankful for each and every one of them. And that should motivate us in our daily life to live in accordance with God's will. Secondly, our family and our friends. We should be thankful for our family. We should be thankful for our mothers and fathers. We should be thankful for our grandparents. We should be thankful for our children, for our spouse. We should be grateful. Now, I know that sometimes people make it difficult to be grateful for them. I understand that. We need to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. Now, we also need to be thankful for brethren. Colossians 1 and verse 3. Paul gave thanks for the faithful brethren in Colossae and for other brethren throughout the world. Every material blessing, our country, our daily provisions. Just think how blessed we are to live here in the United States of America. What a wonderful blessing it is. You think of another people in this world. You think of another people who are as blessed as we are. The greatest blessing, though, that we have, it's not the wealth. It's not the technology. It's not the ease of communication and transportation. It's not the ready food supply so much. The greatest blessing that we have living in this country is the freedom, the liberty to worship God. That's the greatest blessing. These other things are blessings, but that's the greatest. Every material blessing, remember, God provides. All of the things that we have, we've been given by God. Our struggles and our difficulties in life, even those we need to be thankful for. James 1, verses 2 through 6. Rejoice in your tribulations. What? Yes, we ought to even be thankful for our struggles because it's our struggles that makes us stronger. That's God's purpose for these struggles. That's why He allows them into our life, so that we can be made stronger. You're not going to get stronger unless you exercise physically. You're not going to get stronger unless you train. There has to be a resistance. Same thing spiritually. There has to be a resistance. Now, I'm not saying that we should be thankful to Satan or thankful for anything Satan throws in our path. We should not be thankful for the wickedness that men do. Okay? When I say we should be thankful for everything, all means all as defined by its context. Everything from God. We need to give praise to Him for. James 1 and verse 17. Every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God is the source for all that is good. Satan is the source for all that is bad. And it is a result of our sin. So, give thanks to God for all that we have. And then, let me say this as well before I move on from that point. Even though Satan may throw something that is devastating into our life, even though Satan may be responsible, listen, God always, always, always gives something to be thankful for and gives us a way of escape from sin. He gives us a way of escape from the difficulties that we're in, and He gives us something to hope for that will overcome any problem that this life may throw at us. There is more. Much, much more. So we demonstrate our gratitude by our words,
Philippians 4, and giving thanks and prayers and singing. And we're to do this always. We're to always constantly give God thanks, thanking Him with our lips. But we also give thanks to God, and we demonstrate that gratitude by the life that we live, as we mentioned. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's what you should do. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to live our life in such a way that we demonstrate God's grace in our life. That is an attitude of gratitude coming out in our daily living. In our humble obedience to Jesus Christ, be thankful. Listen, He died for you. Live for Him. And His commandments are not burdensome. They're not hard, except for the person that does not want to comply. And that person fails to realize that God's commandments are the things that are best for us anyway in life. And by teaching others. You know, in Acts 8 and verse 4, the disciples were being persecuted in Jerusalem. You know, what if you lived back there? What if you were in Jerusalem? You had been converted to Christianity. You had come to believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Jews began to persecute you. And I don't mean they began to call you names necessarily or things of that nature. I'm talking about they persecuted you. I mean, you were in jeopardy of being put to death. I mean, it was serious. You were fixing to be thrown into prison. You were fixing to be tortured. Let's think about that. Well, the temptation perhaps for many would be to quit. This isn't worth it. That's not what these folks did. They left Jerusalem, but they didn't quit. They went everywhere preaching the Word. Why? They went everywhere preaching. The Apostle Peter and John said in Acts chapter 4, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. They had seen the resurrected Christ. They had been with Him. We cannot but speak those things which we have seen and heard. What about teaching others? How does that express our gratitude for God, for Christ, for the Gospel? For what Jesus has done for us. So then I ask, are you demonstrating thankfulness to God? Yes, there is always, always something to be grateful for. There is always a blessing. We may go through a hard time in life. When those hard times comes, and those hard times get into our life, I think the song that we sang before the lesson is very appropriate. When up on life's billows you are tempted, tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. That's what we need to do. Count our blessings. Think about the wonderful blessings God has blessed us with. My friend, being thankful is not dependent upon how much stuff we have. Does not depend upon the state of life that we find ourselves in. Being thankful depends upon our attitude towards God and the things He's blessed us with. You think about that. If I find myself to be ungrateful, then what I'm really going to find if I dig a little deeper is an attitude that is not godly. Are you thankful? We need to acknowledge that ingratitude is indeed sin. And we need to not major in our troubles, but learn to count our blessings and learn to be content with what we have. We need to be content in our state in life, and we need to express our gratitude in both word and deed. Because we are someone who is truly thankful in heart. Consider what God has done for you. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel. Demonstrate your gratitude to Christ for what He's done by believing in Him, by confessing your faith in Him and repenting of your sins and being buried with Christ in baptism. And then be raised to walk in newness of life. Demonstrate your gratitude. Are you truly grateful? Have you really stopped to think? And that's what I think it boils down to for many. They just don't stop and they don't think about what Jesus has done for them. They don't think about what God's done for them. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you a child of God? Are you living for Christ? If you have obeyed the gospel and you're not living for Christ today, repent. Confess to God your sin. And if there are public things in your life, things that are known publicly that you need to make right, why not express your gratitude to God for an opportunity such as this to obey Him, whatever your need may be this morning. Won't you come as we stand and sing?